Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier with us. We say hello now to Jonathan Hutton from OutKick, who will be on with us in just a second, I guess is what that means. I don't know if... Oh, okay. I don't know if you were telling me to steal second or what you were telling me. Oh, bunt. Okay. All right. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Do they still bunt today?
No, not really.
Tim Corbin loved a good bunt. Because a pitcher can't make that throw from...
Look, small ball. I love small ball.
You would.
It just never happens anymore.
Because everybody wants the shot, man.
Yeah.
Give me the shot. Give it the shot. Lance, give it the shot. You know what movie that's from, Chase?
No.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay.
With John Travolta.
It's a good movie.
Good movie? How about
great
fantastic movie? One of the best movies of all time. What you been up to? Have a good weekend?
It was
all right. How
was Bonnaroo? It was great. You know you can watch it on Hulu.
Can you?
Yeah.
Did you guys, you and Ricky went down for the EDM set with the Chainsmokers, right? Did you get on stage again?
Yeah. Well, we talked about that earlier. It was great.
Well, different audience, man.
Oh, okay.
It's an hour and a half later now.
All right. We have Jonathan Hutton with us now on our phone line. Jonathan, what's up?
What is up, gentlemen? Good morning.
Oh, we're just chilling here on this Monday, and we're officially in that, there's a break now. The training camp will open at the end of July, so the guys have a little bit of time off, and so it's list season and things like that. But as the Titans now have this break, what in your mind does Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan need to accomplish before their team reports at the end of July?
Well, right now, they're all on vacation. Everybody. I mean, they're all getting away to enjoy the next couple of weeks because this is the long stretch, especially for the coaching staff and the whole pro personnel department. This is where the long stretch really begins. Players are going to go and enjoy themselves, and they should. This is probably about as good as they're going to feel for the next 8 or 9 months. So all that being said, they're going to go in and add another safety. But keep in mind that Kenny Vaccaro was added on August the 4th of 2018. So it doesn't have to be by the time camp starts. And Kenny Vaccaro was added August 4th, and he started September the 2nd, whenever they kicked off the season. That's the quality of having a veteran. You let the market come to you when you have a couple of safeties out there that Denard Wilson is comfortable with. I think that's more or less the one spot I would point to, because while Elijah Molden is a piece to their defense, he's not experienced enough in my mind to be able to do the things and make sure that you're comfortable doing all the different facets of what they want that player to be able to do, like Vaccaro did. If they find a Kenny Vaccaro, that is perfect for this defense.
By the way, Jonathan, is Vaccaro, has he still caught Lamar Jackson yet, or is he still chasing him?
Yeah, exactly. No, he's still chasing him. But you know what? Yeah, there's a lot of players that are chasing the Lamar Jackson, Joe. I wouldn't want to be chasing them either.
Yeah, Vaccaro.
Now they got to deal with Derrick Henry too.
Hey, that's a great point though. They need a play. This is easier said than done. They need to find a Kenny Vaccaro of 2018 and not the one that we ended up seeing that had lost his legs. Okay, like there's a difference there.
Right.
And he also was playing next to Kevin Byard. I think that's another key. You know, they have to have the secondary play up to the level of expectation that we've kind of built this off season, and I think that's I say we as a media as a public, like they've done a nice job, especially at corner, and now the, you know, can Amani Hooker step into that next level? Because look, I mean, Robinson gave him the extension. And then now they've got a situation where we know that they don't value safety as far as the money is concerned as much as on the outside. One could argue that's the right method. One could say, well, look at the way that teams are treating the middle and heart of their defense, including defensive tackle. I'll say there's a lot on Amani Hooker to step in and be the next level of his career this year.
Yeah, I just remember Vaccaro came in running that mouth. Lamar Jackson gets passed. He's like, I'm not going to talk to the media anymore. You guys, I'm like, shut your mouth. And then he got out of town.
What year was that? Was that the first year? That wasn't the first year.
I think it was the COVID year, right? Or maybe the 19 or something.
Oh,
we became
okay,
the bad
okay,
guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, just shut your mouth and get out of town.
Yeah, but the COVID year was the year they could talk trash until the playoffs in Cincinnati.
That's when everything really changed. Jonathan Hutton is with us from OutKick. You know, you can probably come up with a couple of different answers to this question, but I feel like there's a player that maybe we're sleeping on and everybody else is sleeping on when it comes to the Titans, and I think it's Tajay Spears because, you know, that he's going into his second year. Tony Pollard comes in. Everybody's talking about him. I feel like this could be a really big year for Spears, and I think he could flourish in this offense. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got he's the forgotten player. And as crazy as it sounds, so is Tony Pollard. You know, like in all the additions, we've talked a ton about wide receivers, and we should. I mean, this is a head coach and an offense that's going to throw the football. But I'm going to focus on Spears or Chase because it's a good point. But I think the two running backs in general, this offense to me, I think as we watch improvements, like big improvements, I think the big improvements happen incrementally early. I think there's a little bit of patience there, especially with just the passing game. I mentioned recently that Will Levis is getting his master's degree right now, or a crash course master's degree in a brand new offense. And how quickly can he do that? I know they're going – over the next couple of weeks, they'll be doing a throwing session somewhere, like a retreat that Will Levis is taking a lot of these guys on. The running backs will be on a trip because they're part of the passing game. But I think early on, this offense may rely more, not Derrick Henry level, but more on the run game than the passing game to get out of the gates and rolling. And I guess what I mean is
out of the gates and ready to go.
Out of the gates, ready to go. Thank you. Yeah, they've got the right side of the line that they're figuring out. They have a left tackle who is a rookie, and a quarterback that's learning this new offense, and one wide receiver who knows it. Now I'm not worried about Hopkins, but I think you get what I'm saying. Like the run game element of this, I think is. It's not the focal point, but I think early on you could be like, man, I didn't know it was going to be 50-50 run pass. I didn't know it was going to be 60-40, you know, like this game where they ran the ball a lot today. I think we see more of that. And Tony Pollard certainly factors in a lot, but Tajay Spears is the prototype for the type of running back that Sean McVay would want, that that we would see from, let's see, Zach Taylor, that Kyle Shanahan would use. They went out and got a veteran version of him. And in fact, I would say Rand Carthon had likely been zeroed in on Tony Pollard whenever he drafted Spears. So like, let's keep all of that in mind with the new era offense. I think as far as who fits this offense well, Spears could be among the top players that we're not discussing. And it's a great point, Chase, because, I mean, we've talked a ton about Burks and how, if not now, when. Or, hey, Levis, right. He's got all the assets around him. So does Tajay Spears in an offense where he's healthy and he's got a veteran back that has made some money off of being the type of back that Spears is in Tony Pollard.
We're talking to our good friend Jonathan Hutton on the Chase and Big Joe Show. With you till noon today. Jonathan Hutton, let me ask you this. 10 years ago, did you ever think you'd be sitting around watching Tennessee baseball and getting into college baseball like most of us are doing right now?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, look, it doesn't, it's not lost on me kind of the mocking that would happen to Vandy baseball whenever Vandy baseball was all the rage and, you know, it was about football on the radio. Like, so let's, I'll rewind there. I'm still not all in on college baseball. Like there are some great storylines. That finish to the Florida State game was amazing. I rewatched it on Saturday after a round of golf with Dad because I didn't see the finish live. And so we watched it in the rain delay that he's into. It was awesome, dude. Like it was fantastic. They are doing a great job of showing personality. Mm-hmm. The coaches are fantastic with access. And Vitello is perfect for what this new era of latch on and hold on type of mentality we have with what's popular and what's not and what's big and what's growing. I think the other factor is it's either your team or it's likely not at that level yet. So I don't know how many Vandy fans are tuned in, locked into Tennessee baseball just because it's college baseball. But it's much more popular to me that in the barroom talk than Major League Baseball is on a just any given day level. And that's a huge, you know, like eyebrow raise to anybody. For me, that's a, I grew up a massive baseball fan.
Right.
And I raise an eyebrow, like, or I turn an ear, like, what? What are they talking about? They're talking baseball today, like over here at the bar.
Right.
I don't hear that anymore. And now I'm hearing that. That's great. And chances are, in the off season, Vitello will be the guy talking about it at the bar.
Yeah, you know, you're correct there. But no, let me tell you this. But to a large degree, yeah, Vandy fans are paying attention because when Tennessee went down the other night, Vandy fans were chirping at Tennessee fans. When Tennessee fans won, they went back at Vandy fans, which I just sit and watch on social media and just laugh.
Look,
I love it.
It's great.
Well, that was the same way whenever, you know, Corbin's bringing the championship back from Omaha.
Yep.
And the chirping was for Vandy fans. But leading up to that, you know, or had they lost the World Series or something, the Tennessee fans were chirping. Well, you know, same deal.
Here's the thing, though. I love it because Vanderbilt, Tennessee is a rivalry that, you know, it. I think it matters to one side more than the other because of football and basketball. Sure. But in baseball, it's more even. And it's a good rivalry to have because it's in state. They're both in the SEC. So I love it. I love the chirping. I mean, even though it gets a little ridiculous at times.
You know what else? You know, there's like internal chirping between Vitello and Corbin, too.
Of course there is. So, I mean, because they're completely different.
Yeah. But you have to have that extra ingredient. And Tony V gives you that, man. He doesn't really care. You know, it's like, look, they're not the same. It's not on the same level. I'm not trying to say Vitello was hated, but he was hated by, let's see, how many fan bases 2 or 3 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. Because you're winning. You're doing things differently. Yes.
I guarantee you he's got, like, how many selfies with Alabama fans or LSU fans now?
Right.
To me, it's a very similar storyline to Bryson DeChambeau.
That's a good comparison.
Now, DeChambeau was just nerdy and awkward and weird, and he was arrogant. But, like, Vitello is just kind of – he's kind of just the same dude. He's just he turned into the guy who wins and backs up his players, and everybody loves that, you know, and I do too. That speech he gave after the Super Regional was fantastic. The key is he won that game. I don't think he can go to the podium and give that same speech, or it wasn't a rant. I don't know how we would describe it. But I don't know, the fact that they won and they had 7 homers and scored 12 and all that, that helps go into that media session and open it that way. And it was perfect. Yeah. It was. The way they finished the game against Florida State and then the way they won yesterday, perfect. They're riding the wave. And this is their year. I mean, they've got the momentum. They have the players, the confidence, and they have those special players – that are just not going to let you lose, even if you have two strikes and you have two outs in the ninth.
This is what I'll say, like the comparison with Tony Vitello and Tim Corbin. And I have a lot of respect for both of them, but they're different. Tim Corbin's the type, if you see him out and about, you probably see him in a restaurant or something. You walk up, you shake his hand, you say, "Hey, coach, how you doing? Just wanted to say hi. Thanks for everything." He'll say, you know, "Hey, I appreciate it," whatever, and then you walk away. If you walk up to Vitello in the same setting, you go, "Hey, you want to do a shot? You like, can I buy you a beer?" Like, it's just that's kind of the personality that I think he has, and so therefore the response is going to be different. But they're both really, really good, obviously, at what they do. Corbin's got the championships, and who knows? Vitello may have one here in a couple weeks.
Well, I mean, they're both very easy to talk to, like you say. I respect the hell out of Tim Corbin, and I want to learn the game from Tim Corbin. He's the professor.
Right.
When Tony Vitello comes on and he's headed to Omaha, the first question I asked him the other day was, "Will you please rank for us Cabo, Ibiza, and Tulum?" Those are the first three. He went with Ibiza, Cabo, and Tulum, by the way. So, like, that, and then you get into ball, you know? Like, that's kind of how, I mean, this, it's kind of how you recruit now, because you're recruiting either through the portal or you're recruiting to get guys to stay out of the portal. And if you enter the portal, he's not afraid to say, like, "Hey, if you leave early, you're missing out on this," you know? It's just you have to have some swagger, and the brands in baseball are still there, and Tennessee's one of them now because they have the brand at coach.
Yep, 100% agree. Hutt, good to talk to you. Thanks so much as always, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much, Chase. Have a good one, Joe.
See you, brother.
Jonathan Hutton from OutKick joining us here on the program again. An extra hour today. All week.
Why didn't he ask us about Hardee's, Burger King, and like McDonald's? I mean, that's our level with Vitello.
Yeah, I don't know. Can I complain about something coming up next?
Oh yeah.
Like, I have a pretty big complaint about a food service.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. I love this.
Are we doing birthdays at 11:45?
Yes, we are.
All right, so we'll do birthdays at 11:45 since we're on until noon today. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.